Hi, this is Barry List at Informs, the Institute for Operations Research in the Management Sciences. You're listening to Science of Better, a series of podcasts about ways that analytics and math modeling help people like you and organizations like your own. Do you ever fantasize that you've not only done important research, but that people actually accepted your recommendations? That's what happened to one operations researcher who's written about sports in addition to his specialty in energy and oil. The Atlanta Braves' exciting new catcher, Evan Gaddis, credited our guest today with helping him decide when to swing and when to take a pitch at the plate. In today's segment, we speak with J. Eric Bickell, an assistant professor at the University of Texas, Austin. He's the author of a 2009 article in the Informs Journal Decision Analysis entitled, On the Decision to Take a Pitch. Professor, welcome to the Science of Better.
Thank you for having me.
So, who is Evan Gaddis, and why is his story so remarkable?
He's a rookie catcher. He's played some first base and outfield as well for the Braves. They ran a special on him because he's older for a rookie. I think he's 27 years old.
That is fairly old for baseball.
Yeah, he didn't play for about 4 years, and he is now back in the game and doing wonderfully, and was selected as Rookie of the Month in April and May, and because of this interesting background, they wrote a special on him.
Sports Illustrated mentioned something in connection to where he bats, and what was his connection to you, and were you actually in touch, or was he a reader of your work?
In the article, I didn't know this was coming out. It was just great joy and very nice of him to mention me, but there, in the article, it just mentions that he had started reading some of my work when he was in the minor leagues, I think the last 2 years, paper where I had figured out the optimal thing for batters to do, optimal decision to make in different counts, and said that shapes his approach at the plate. So it was, just amazing.
Wow. Any idea how he discovered you? The internet or some other way?
Yeah, he emailed me about a year and a half ago, just out of the blue, and said, hey, I found one of your papers and helped me a lot, and it was very interesting, and thank you very much. Just, the nicest email, and I replied to that, and I said, thank you so much for letting me know. We so often or very rarely hear about anybody reading our papers, and this was just a real, nice thing for him to do. And he told me he was playing in the minor leagues for the Braves, and I didn't think too much about it at the time. I've had a few exchanges with some other minor leaguers, and even watched him play a few games earlier in the season on TV, my son and I, and heard a little bit about his story, but I just didn't really make the connection back until my friend sent me the Sports Illustrated page, and then it all clicked, and then I remembered that I had had this exchange with him.
And I think that at the time of the Sports Illustrated article, he was batting over 300?
Yeah, I think he's hitting around 260, but he's slugging like 600.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got the highest slugging percentage on the Braves. Many, many home runs and grand slam.
So, turning back to you, I gather that your research in baseball goes back about 20 years, and you developed a software program called ChartMine. What is it? How does it work?
As you mentioned at the outset, my focus is really decision-making under uncertainty, and I'm a big baseball fan and have always kind of enjoyed this as a hobby, applying my decision analysis training to an area that I like quite a bit, and there's many decisions made in baseball at many different levels on the field all the way to the front office. Just when I was in graduate school at Stanford, I started working with the Stanford baseball team and a coach there by the name of Dean Stotts, and we developed a program to chart pitches and hitting so that they write down everything, what kind of pitch it was and where it was hit and so on paper, and they'd put them in a notebook and file it away, and it would never be seen again. This was back in 1995. I thought, well, they could do more with that, and wrote a program to chart on, at that time it was a pocket PC, a Windows CE machine, and then you would transfer the data to a computer database after the game, and then you could analyze it. And it was basically analytics, data analytics. That's what we called it, chart mine for pitch charting and then data mining.
Uh-huh.
And Stanford used that. Originally, it was just to beat USC. We did all this just so we could get an edge on USC. And, I had great fun doing that.
Sure.
And then we decided to sell it. And about 300 schools used it, about 30% of Division I baseball teams. It was named a best new product. And we sold it for about 5 years or so, and it just became a little bit too much for me to manage that, and I was doing all this on the side while I was working, when I was consulting. So when I went back to academia, I decided to sell that. I sold my customer list. I still own all the software and the IP, but I haven't pushed that forward. But when we were selling that, then I would write some white papers and different things to, try to bring attention to what we were doing, and some of this work came out of that.
So let's talk a little baseball. Now, if the count is 3-0, older fans like me will tell you that you take the pitch, that a walk is as good as a hit. Is this old axiom good advice to follow?
By and large, yes. What the paper is about is, but why is that? Why does that make sense? Why is that the right decision? It's not so obvious. A lot of fans will say, well, why would you ever take 3-0? Because you're going to get a fastball for a strike. I mean, how can you let the best pitch of the game just go by? So I was pondering that, and usually someone will say, well, you're trying to get runners on base, but that's really the objective. It doesn't really say how taking helps get runners on base. So in the paper, I step through that decision, and what you should do really depends on your objective. We find that in many OR problems, right? The best decision depends on what you're trying to maximize. And if you're trying to maximize the chance of getting on base, or you're trying to maximize maybe the average number of bases you obtain, then you should take 3-0 and 2-0 even, and 3-1. And the reason for that is, if we just talk about 3-0 specifically, if the count is 3-0, what you have to do is you have to think about what's the chance the batter's eventually going to get on base, given it's 3-0. Not necessarily on the next pitch, but the next pitch could be a strike, and then he might foul one off and so on. But given it's 3-0, what's the chance he'll eventually get on base?
Okay.
And that's about 77% for the data that we looked at. And the paper is college data. It's the Stanford database.
Mm-hmm.
But professional is really, I think, close to this. If the count goes 3-1, if a strike is thrown, maybe he just let the pitch go by, that chance of eventually getting on base goes down to like 63%. Okay, so if I'm standing there 3-0 and I let the ball go by for a strike, I've decreased the chance I'm going to get on base to about 63%. But if you look at, okay, well, what happens if I put the ball in play on 3-0? If I swung away on 3-0 and put it in play, what's the chance I'm going to get on base? And that's only about one-third.
Do we have any idea why that is, or is it just an observation that we can't quite explain?
No, that is really stable and, I think, dictated by just the structure of the game itself, how many fielders there are, the dimensions of the field. It's about one-third in pro, about a third in college, and even my son is 12 years old. He plays on a select team, and I've calculated it for them, and it's about a third.
This
so when you put it in play on 3-0, you've suddenly decreased your chance of getting on base to a third, versus even if you let a strike go by, you've got almost a two-thirds chance of eventually getting on base.
This is The Science of Better with Barry List. Today we're talking with J. Eric Bakel of the University of Texas about his research that helps Major League Baseball players get on base. Please explain the scenario to those who follow baseball and those who don't. I'm a major league batter at the plate. A pitcher throws a ball that I feel that I can hit, but you're telling me not to swing. And so how do you approach offering advice, or in the words of our profession, how do you give decision support?
I think taking 3-0 is pretty much automatic for most players. But what we show in the paper is that you should also take 2-0, and you should also take on 3-1, given you're trying to maximize this chance of reaching the base. But the benefit of doing so in those counts is not as strong as 3-0. And then we look at all the other counts as well, and there's certain counts. All the other counts you shouldn't take. So on 0-0, you should not take a pitch. Ted Williams used to say, you know, take the first pitch and get a read on the batter. And you know, what we're showing is, in aggregate, that doesn't pan out. Now, maybe it might be good for Ted Williams, or maybe it can be good for a particular player. But in aggregate, you shouldn't take 0-0.
So I'm just trying to think of the practicalities. Of course, if I'm playing, I can't pull out my iPad and do a calculation as the ball's being thrown at me at 93 miles per hour. How do I or the manager make a rapid decision at the plate? Is it just these basic rules, or is there anything dynamic going on?
Well, you would normally this is not a decision that the batter makes. That this is a decision that the coach would make, and you know, before every single pitch, the coach is sending in instructions to the hitter for what they're to do on that next count. So the coach would have to make this decision, or the manager, maybe the player, and you would have to have these rules of thumb already in your mind, and that's the point of the paper. I mean, the rule is take 3-0, take 3-1, and take 2-0, unless you're trying to get a hit. Now, if your goal is to get a hit, not just get on base, but to get a hit, maybe there's a runner on third base. And
you mean to drive somebody home?
To drive somebody home, yeah. If that's your objective, then you should never take. Not even, and 3-0 is one of the worst counts to take when you're trying to maximize the chance of getting a hit, driving somebody home. And that's simply because as soon as you put the ball in play, you've got about a one-third chance of getting a hit. And the chance of getting a hit during a plate appearance is less than that. So it really depends on what your objective is. And I think on the Sports Illustrated site, they added some video of Evan Gattis, bases loaded, 3-0 count, swinging away on 3-0, and hits a home run, hits a grand slam.
Wow, so you don't always take on 3-0?
Nope, depends. It depends on the objective, for sure.
Right, and I want to circle back to objectives and some things you were saying earlier. Most fans think of the batter's goal as just getting on base, but in your paper you describe three strategic goals. One is maximizing the chance of reaching base. Number two is maximizing the average number of bases obtained, single, double, triple, homer, and maximizing the chance of getting a hit. So why is this framework useful, and how does it work out in your research?
Well, the real objective is to win, and these are all kind of means to that. But it's difficult to model the probability of winning because you have to model, well, what the other team is going to do throughout the rest of the game. And really early in the game, there's so many scenarios that it becomes difficult to focus on the true objective. So we usually focus on these proxies, and which of those make sense depends on where you are in the game. So early in the game, you're really trying to score as many runs as you can. That's pretty close to maximizing the chance of winning. And maximizing how many bases you obtain is pretty close to maximizing the number of runs you obtain. So that's why I look at that objective, just maximizing the expected number of bases. Maybe and then later in the game you might get into a situation where you need to get runners on base. Maybe it's a tight game, you're down by a run or something. So in that case, your objective would switch to maximizing the chance of getting somebody on. And then once they get on in a close game, then it becomes all about getting them around and getting them home, and then you're trying to maximize the chance of a hit. And you know, so the strategy changes throughout the course of a game. What you'll see people doing early in the game is different than what they would do late in the game.
I'm wondering if you've heard from any other players or managers or general managers who've looked at your research.
Not regarding this per se. I've received some emails from, you know, fans and folks that want to know what Evan Gattis had read, and but I wouldn't expect to hear maybe from front office folks, because this decision is really, really low level. You know, this is what do you do on the next pitch, and the front office folks are, you know, worried about maybe larger decisions, you know, who to have on the team and how much are different players worth.
And how does your research fit in with other sports research that players and managers can use?
It's similar. If listeners look at the paper, essentially this calculation of the probability of eventually reaching base, this is just a Markov process. And originally I modeled it that way, actually, when to explain my ideas to the Stanford coach when I first met him. We didn't have any of this data, and I built a little model to estimate these probabilities. And then once they saw that, then they said, okay, let's gather the data. So if you think about it, it's you start out on an 0-0 count, and then you just transition to different states, 0-1, 1-0, 1-2, and so on. Batter bounces around, and then finally you end up in a trapping state, which is either you're on base or you're out. So it's really this Markov chain, and other parts of baseball have been modeled in that same way. The way batters or runners move around the bases has been modeled as a Markov process, originally by my advisor Ron Howard back in the 60s.
And studied with the legendary Ron Howard.
Yes, I was fortunate enough. He was my advisor. Other sports are similar. Like there's work in football where you calculate the expected number of points you score from different field position, right? Different down and different yards to go to a first down and how much time's left. You can kind of think of that as a Markov process. And baseball is similar.
We only have time for a couple more questions. Does this mention of Sports Illustrated motivate you maybe to turn your attention more to sports research again?
I think as a hobby, it's, as you can appreciate, it's hard to get funded, right, research and to fund a research program on this kind of thing and to prepare prepare PhD students
right,
to obtain academic jobs. So it's, yeah, I love it, and it's a hobby, but if the Dodgers called up and asked me to be GM, then that would be tempting.
And finally, with all the attention that's come to sports analytics since the publication of Moneyball, do you think that there are new methods that baseball teams should be using but aren't?
Yeah, I would say, I think quantification of uncertainty is still a big thing, and decision-making. I kind of view where we're at is when companies first started using NPV and realizing that was the right way to make decisions. And then eventually they went beyond that and said, okay, well, we need to quantify uncertainty, we need to think about decision-making under uncertainty and options. And I think baseball's still early in that development. We're learning how to calculate values of players, but I think need to get to the point where we're really quantifying uncertainty, and most importantly, we're focused on the decisions that we're trying to make.
That's all the time we have today. We've been talking with J. Eric Bickel of the University of Texas, Austin. Professor, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening to the Science of Better podcast by Informs, the Institute for Operations Research in the Management Sciences. For more information about operations research and the series of podcasts, visit us on the web at www.informs.org. Good day, and remember, keep on crunching those numbers.